Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back, Wispies. We are Nikita and
Denise.
We have another hard-hitting episode for you.
I feel like I'm tongue-tied today.
Okay.
That's okay. We're just going to roll with it.
Mm-hmm. So let's just jump into it. We're going to talk a little bit about budgeting, how to get our lives together. It's the holiday season. So let's uncork and unwind. Denise, are you stressed around the holidays?
I think I'm more stressed than I lead on.
Okay.
Not gonna lie, you mentioned this topic and I was like, I really don't wanna, because I'm horrible at budgeting. I will say this.
Okay.
I do budget better than what I was taught.
Okay, that's interesting. What do you mean?
So my mother didn't really have a true discipline with money. She has a very estranged relationship with money. Money okay. goes through her hand and falls through like water, literally. And so I always said I don't ever want to be in that predicament, although sometimes I find myself in that predicament.
Okay.
But I have a better relationship with money where I'm like, nope, I need it for this. I'm putting it aside for this. And then once this is paid for, then I can do what I want.
Okay.
In terms of splurging. But yes, to answer your question, I started the rabbit hole.
Okay.
To answer your question, I get very stressed around the holidays because I have two December babies.
Mm-hmm.
With all the other expenses that need to happen.
Holiday.
Presents. Outside of the normal expenses that are supposed to be taking place in the month.
So I think what I find interesting about the holidays is the fact that it's coming, it's all just 4 weeks apart, realistically, right? Because you're spending all this money during Thanksgiving because you buy turkey, mac and cheese, whatever the accoutrements are, fish. My family does ham. We do lamb. So I buy all of that and then swing by for Christmas. I'm buying all that food again because we're West Indian or Guyanese, so we have something called pepper pot. And pepper pot is like this have all be all of all this meat in this one pot, right? It's delicious.
Very.
But it's all this meat in one pot, and then we make something called garlic pork, or in my family, we make garlic lamb. So now I'm...
I haven't heard that one.
Oh, I'll bring you some. It's be forewarned.
I don't eat lamb, though.
I will make pork for you then. Be forewarned, it makes your house smell like pure garlic for 4 to 5 hours when you cook it. Okay. I just want you to be prepared. So we do all that, and it's not like pork and lamb are cheap.
No, they're not.
They're not. Lamb's definitely not cheap, right?
I don't think anything's cheap anymore.
So I buy all of that, and then I still have to buy presents. So the holidays is rough, and Thanksgiving happens the fourth Thursday of the month in November. Christmas happens the fourth whatever week in December.
You have 3 weeks.
And then you have a week in between for New Year's. Because we also do like a nice good New Year's dinner too. Aside from our traditional,
what do you do?
We do the Haitian soup because it's our Independence Day as well. Mm-hmm. And you cannot be Haitian and not have soup.
No, it's a thing for you.
Right. In some households, that's all you're eating.
Really?
But at least my mother was kind enough to be like, okay, some other you'll have soup for the better half of the day, but you can at least have some regular food by the end of the day.
So for us, I have to eat something yellow for gold and wealth.
Oh.
So we eat cornbread. I have to eat something green for health. So typically I'll make broccoli. We're supposed to have like
spinach, callaloo.
It's callaloo, but I don't want callaloo. So I'll make broccoli.
Callaloo is selfish.
Yeah, that's the only time I like it.
Right. It makes up for it. The selfish.
But then I got to have bake. I'm not making bake.
Festival? No, you guys don't do festival.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And I can't make bake. My bake come out hard. Anyway, West Indians, don't judge me. Anyway, so, and then we have to eat something. We eat peas so that we never go hungry. So that,
like black-eyed peas, like Americans. Black Americans use black-eyed peas for wealth and prosperity.
And then we do it for hunger. So we have to eat a staple foods. We have rice and peas. So right. That we never go hungry in the new year. So we have some.
Sorry, AKA rice and peas is rice and beans. For those who don't know the peas part. But if you're going to go to the restaurant, you better know you say peas, not beans. Go ahead.
It's peas. So we eat rice and peas. We eat something green and then yellow for wealth.
Okay.
For the gold.
I can dig it.
So then we're buying that too. So it's just a lot of food that happens during the holidays, right? Especially around my family.
Mm.
And then it still has to buy presents. And if you go anywhere, if you're visiting any family for Christmas, for Boxing, for Old Year's is New Year's. You never heard that?
No.
So growing up, I don't know if it's a Guyanese or Trinidadian thing or just a Guyanese thing, but it's not called New Year's Eve. It's called Old Year's Night.
Okay.
And then different. It's New Year's Day.
Huh.
So when we go out for Old Year's.
Got it.
Old years, let me say it.
I just learned what Boxing Day was, and I'm surprised people are still celebrating it, especially yeah. Caribbean people.
We celebrate Boxing Day. Well,
Boxing Day, I learned, and please tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay, I'm ready.
Boxing Day is when...
mm-hmm, yep. Yes.
In the olden days.
Mm-hmm.
And by the olden days, I mean the days of colonization.
Mm-hmm.
The master
mm-hmm.
would box up all the leftovers mm-hmm. and then give it to the servants.
Mm-hmm. That's what Boxing Day is.
So I still don't understand why it's
I don't know.
A fond, F-O-N-D, tradition. And I said fond on purpose, right?
You did.
Yeah, because isn't fond mm-hmm. is supposed to be something of endearment.
It's close to your heart.
Right.
It feels
so
special.
I don't understand why it's such a fond tradition.
I don't know why it's a fond tradition because we don't celebrate it in my household.
Mm.
But I know that in Canada, where some of my family lives, Boxing Day is Black Friday.
Oh.
So when I go to Canada, listen.
The sales
are better than America, even though it has higher taxes. Still better than here. And then we go hard. They still do like Black Friday, where they go to the mall and stuff. We don't have to go super early in the morning, but we'll still go.
Right.
And we'll go shopping. We'll make a big thing out of it. And it's fun.
Yeah, and that ties right into the whole budgeting expenditures thing.
Black Friday. I didn't even think about Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't shop this Black Friday. I was supposed to. I failed. But I don't know where I was going. This is my brain today.
It's okay.
All right.
I appreciate you. We rabbit-holed it together.
Okay.
Because you said one thing. My brain had the question. And so thank you, guys. You know we don't know what we're doing, but we're here. And you're joining us.
We just roll with it. So I'm just going to bring it back. So it's just a lot of budgeting that needs to happen because you have to plan for all of these things. Oh, visiting family, right? I think that's what I was talking about.
Mm, you traveling.
Have to, traveling. Oh, Old Year's. So no matter where we go in my family, we have something where he says you can't go with long arms, right? So long arms.
I mean empty.
Empty. So you can never go with long arms.
Right.
So no matter what house you're visiting, no matter what it's for, you got to bring something.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not always thinking about those budgets either. When you're thinking about budgeting and the things that you have to do, because sometimes when I'm going out for whatever event, whatever house I'm going to, whatever it may be, it's last minute. So then it's like, oh, shoot, either make something in my house, cornbread, muffins, brownies, something, or I better go buy a bottle of liquor to bring.
Mm-hmm. And you better hope the store's open.
Right. And that's another $20 that I didn't plan for. And it should be my gas tank.
Yeah. Or our employers need to compensate us better, but we don't have employers anymore.
We don't have employers. So this is you went through this last year, kind of, sort of, not really, because you were still getting some money in. No.
By this time, I was on
you were on your...
I was on my...
PLOA.
Yes. I was on my leave.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you weren't. Okay. So this is my first year not getting a steady paycheck week to week or every other week. And I'm just trying to still figure out... I wasn't great at budgeting, but I understood how to budget. Mm-hmm. I was able to understand that I need to break down what my income is, what my rent expenses are, what my pleasure would be, budget for food, budget for expenses like going out to eat with friends, things of that nature. I was good at that.
Okay.
I got better at it because I wasn't good at first. At first, I would just spend money because I got a paycheck and I said, ooh, I got some money. Spend. So I got better at it.
And that's what they want.
It is.
They want us to be like, oh, money dropped in my bank. That's what they get there.
So let me tell you a story. Side note, sidetrack here with me, guys. I used to work at Kohl's.
Okay.
Okay. And I was the HR person at my Kohl's store. And my store manager, the O1, he trusted me. So he wanted me to be there for the Black Friday sales. And at this point, it was so long ago, Black Friday was still a thing. People went to the stores.
Right.
So I remember one Black Friday, I was working the front of the store. And we called it the frontline leader or the customer service rep. Mm-hmm. And I was helping the front of the store manage any coupons that came through, any transaction questions, anything. I was in the front. And then I got a ding on my phone that says that my paycheck was deposited early.
That's dangerous.
So I sat there and I was talking to my coworker at the time. And I was like, yo, is this real?
They do that on purpose.
And that's what she told me. She was like, yeah, girl, they want you to spend your money while you in the store.
Yeah.
And I did. I was still... Don't judge me.
It's the very casual, I did.
Because I did. I saw it and I was like, I got money. And it was money that I wasn't expecting. Because I had planned to buy something already.
And budgeted it for yourself.
And budgeted X amount for that. Let's just say it's $100. I budgeted that $100 for myself so that I was going to go buy that one specific item. I say one very, very purposefully. I walked out with four bags of stuff. Don't laugh at me. She's laughing at me.
Because I remember being there.
But I had a discount. Then I had money in my bank account that I didn't account for. And I was already there. I must have been like punch drunk also, because I think it was, I know what I bought too. So it was 2-3 o'clock in the morning. The store was now winding down. My O1 was about to leave. So I was relieved for the night because I couldn't go home till he went home. It was a thing. I was there since 4 o'clock Thanksgiving Day, 4 p.m. Thanksgiving Day. I didn't go home till 2-3 o'clock Black Friday morning. Yo, I can't stand retail. And God bless all the retail people that are still working those hours, because I remember those retail hours.
I got an accident one morning.
Come back to me.
Sorry. I have to get my coffee.
That's okay. Just come back.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're punch drunk and you're tired. I was definitely tired. So I bought four bags of stuff. And on top of that, I'm pretty sure this is the night also. We had... So you know how, like, when you get returns, we would squirrel away some of the returns because you knew that you wanted to buy it later?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had returned an elephant. And if you know me, you know me. I'm obsessed with elephants. Like, that was one of the wedding presents Ibrahim gave me, was an elephant.
Oh.
So I have an elephant named Kitich in Kenya.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
So I have a problem. I love elephants. So... There's an elephant, and it must have been...
Well, they mean prosperity.
They do, mm-hmm. And they have a lot of great meanings. But I just think that they're great animals, and they're loving, and I love how they care for their families, and they don't leave people behind if they don't have to. Anyway, so there was an elephant. It must have been an elephant that a 5-year-old could ride. It was big. I still have it, but I brought that home that day too.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Because I had money that I didn't think I was going to have. And so this elephant...
I did that for y'all. I took that sip of coffee for y'all.
That elephant is now called Shakira. And she's in my house. She was under my desk at my office at Kohl's, and I brought her out that day so I could buy her all my other stuff. The point of the story is that they planned all of this for you, and that's why they gave me that money early, because they knew I was going to spend it.
Well, that's how the economy is.
Help me help you.
No. I was going to say.
Mostly help me.
In theory, it makes sense to keep the economy moving.
Okay.
However, it cripples a lot of people because they never really truly recognize the relationship they're supposed to have. Not to say that when you get a paycheck, you don't get something for yourself because you worked hard and you earn it.
Yes.
However, you have to be able to prioritize.
Yes.
What needs to come first before you can get to that space? I'll never forget my grandfather. He was always tell us, you know, you're a kid, you're not listening. We got our first jobs. He was like, whatever you do, say five. He goes, if you save $5 every paycheck.
That's a lot.
At that time, yeah, it was. Yes. I'm talking about like.
But it's still something.
Yeah. It was like early 2000, literally 2000, so I was 16. And just
we are 24.
Don't be doing no calculations, okay? But I remember with my first job, you know, mall job.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Contempo Casuals, y'all don't even exist no more. he would say, you got your first job now? Every paycheck, put it aside. And I did. My mother had a credit union through her job.
Okay.
And I had a vacation club.
Oh.
So I had a checking account that was direct deposited to, and then every paycheck they would take $50 out of it.
Beautiful.
But then, you know, good you're job. A kid, you're like, I want to use my money. I regret it now. And I'm trying to catch up now. So but again, this is the weird dynamic with money, and especially those of us who are making under a certain amount of figures.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be able to have the money to splurge a little bit.
Absolutely.
But then you also realize you're paycheck to paycheck.
You're paycheck to paycheck. Do you know how sad it is to say that?
Mm-hmm.
It's because I don't want to be paycheck to paycheck. And in my brain, I'm not paycheck to paycheck. But my bank account tells me I am paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
So, thinking about this holiday season, I do want to be better,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not even paycheck to paycheck now. Now I'm just surviving to surviving at this point. So I'm trying to be better, and I'm trying to think about the debts that I have and how I can pay all those debts.
Mm.
And then if I get any income coming in, thinking about what income may or may not be coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Balancing out that amount with then who do I buy presents for? So this has always been a thing for me because I feel I was in an office. So I was always buying presents for people in my office. I was always buying presents for staff members that I work for and I work really close with.
Right.
Even if they weren't in my office or if they were just outside.
What people you liked.
People I liked, right? And then when family comes to visit, I always feel like I need to give my family something.
Yeah, you're visiting the something under the tree for them.
Right, because you don't want them to not have a present. Or if I'm going, I would never not want to have a present myself, even if it's one thing. And then my hardest one is my mother and my father, to be perfectly honest. I never know what to buy my mother and father. And then they don't tell me what they want. So then I struggle.
I think we all have a few, one to a couple of people that...
24. There's just so many. I don't know. I'm so
that we're
bad.
Just like, you have everything. What else can I possibly get you? For me, it's my husband.
Is it?
He has everything. He has everything.
Like, what do you get somebody?
Like, what do I get somebody? So I get that part. But I also feel like there is a different level because you're stepping into it. But I've also come to realize... For me, it's not just the, I can have my calendar booked.
Okay.
And I have to base my expenditures or whatever based on that.
Okay.
But I can't solely rely on that because I also have to think about the fact that if someone gets sick or if I get sick or someone cancels or reschedules, then whatever I banked for that particular day is no longer because now it has to be shifted somewhere else. It could be shifted 2 weeks later.
Which is after the holiday season.
Or whenever.
Right. And it's not in your bank account when you expected it to be in
correct.
Your bank account.
Or I have to make sure that, oop, here I am, I'm hitting the microphone, guys. I have to make sure that I'm in my best health, or if my kids get sick.
How do you take care of them? Make sure you buy, they can go to the doctor, they can go get medicine, they can go get all the things
right.
that
and
they
my,
need.
And now my partner can't be the one to stay home with the kids. I have to be the one to stay home with the kids.
Oh.
So these are different things in terms of, I have to think about in terms of, financial budgeting.
So I am.
Hello, entrepreneurship. How are you?
No. I don't want to give it back because I enjoy it and I enjoy what I'm doing. But in this moment,
yep.
I want to give it back because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to budget in this setting.
Yeah. That's part of the ebbs and flows.
So I used to do the whole, it was like, the 50, 20, 30 rule, right? The 50% of it should be what your expenses are. That's what your paycheck was. 50% goes to your paycheck, your rent, your utilities.
I never heard that.
Oh, yeah. So
proceed. Sorry, guys. I held it back.
So that's what 50% of your paycheck goes towards. 30% should be for like fun. You know, you go out eating, you go to the movies, you go on date nights, you go buy books for yourself because books cost too much money. I just spent $100 on books. So don't judge me. So 30% goes to there. And then 20% should be what you're saving. I was good at that. I found that rule and I said, I can do this. I budgeted. I planned it all out. Was good. When I found that 50, 20, 30, 50, 30, 20, whatever,
mm-hmm.
I was golden. Now,
that's different. I like it.
I love it. It was, and I would budget. People say that you should budget for your month. I didn't do that. I used to do that 50, 20, 30 rule on paycheck. So if I knew I was getting paid on the first, I would then sit down either on the 28th, the 29th, whatever it be, a few days before my paycheck hit, and I would say where all that paycheck was going to. And I would write it down for myself, and as my paycheck hit, I had automatic saving already, so I already knew that 20% was already going to be shoved into my savings account.
Okay, so you didn't even think about it.
Didn't think about that. So then I took what was left over that I was going into my main account. That was what I needed to split between 50 and 30, and I would budget. Okay, this is going to go here. I won't touch this. I'll take this 30%, and I'm going to route it to my next paycheck, to my next account that I use just for personal because it's maybe I pay off a credit card because I know that I'm going to use my credit card for going out to eat and I want those points or whatever it may be, right? So I would do it paycheck to paycheck. Then I would route that so that I would plan effectively with my money. And then I would do that paycheck to paycheck so that I knew what was coming in. I was able to budget it.
Okay.
That was good. I'm telling you that I had it down pat. I knew where it was going. I didn't stress. And I was still living paycheck to paycheck, but I had cushion that I didn't feel like I was living paycheck to paycheck.
Fair enough.
So now I'm...
Flash forward.
Shoop. I'm here. It's 6 months, 7 months, 5 months.
April? May.
June.
6 months.
6 months-ish into being fully entrepreneur, fully living this life. I don't know how to budget anymore.
You can't. It's not, unless you have, because right now we are working into our surplus, right? Because I'm going to speak it. I'm always going to speak it. We're working into our surplus. So therefore.
Oh, you mean this?
Yes. We're working into our surplus.
We are.
So without the surplus, you're always going to feel like, okay, I got that out the way. When's the next
little
cushion
coming
for us to take care of the next thing that we has to get out the way?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. And you don't know when it's coming. And that's the part that I'm struggling.
Adulting sucks.
Adulting does suck. I'm
a whole lot of. A whole lot of.
And then if you don't know, if you don't have your cushion, because I'll be very honest, I'm dipping into my cushion that I've created for myself from years of work. I've been dipping into it and I need to stop.
Yeah. Because you're just like, oh, but I got it. I got it. And then when you look, you're like, oh, wait a minute.
I don't got it no more.
Yeah.
It's so different. Mm-hmm. So because I'm now dipping into it, I need to be like, hey, you need to slow down because you're dipping, but you're not refilling as quickly as I used to refill. Ibrahim calls me a squirrel, which I am. I want to say that I'm a niffler. I don't know if anyone watches Harry Potter, but Harry Potter and the Fantastic Beasts, there's a niffler. It's this cute little animal, and it goes around, and it likes shiny things, so then it stores shiny things. He calls me a squirrel because in our house, there's probably like 4 caches of cash somewhere.
Like little jars of stuff?
Anywhere.
Okay.
And I do my best not to touch it. I try super hard. Mm. And then I try and put, if I have some cash, I put it in there, right? Mm-hmm. I've definitely been touching one of the caches. And it's my money, so like, okay. It's fine.
Okay. No, well, I'm just like.
It was a gas for me.
No, the gas for me was like, ooh, that's dangerous.
It is. It's because I know it's there, right? And so like, I forget about every couple of weeks. And I'm like, oh yeah, I do got cash in my house. I've been touching some of the cash. I got to stop touching it. I got to leave it where it is. That cash is easily my emergency fund. Like when all shit breaks loose, that's the money that I'm going to be using. Because that money will be able to help me survive for a little bit. So I got to stop touching it.
I got to start one. I have an electronic one where I open up a high.
Is it digit? Oh, mm-hmm.
No. I did a high yield savings account.
Mm-hmm. Everyone should have a high-yield savings account.
Yeah. When I had the severance and the closure of my 401k, I put all of that in the high-yield savings account.
Did you?
I did.
Good job.
I, too, dipping for life, right? And so I came to the point where I was like, I got to put back. It's not at the same rate, like you said.
That's
but
okay.
What I like about it is It checks me. And by that, I mean, if I go and I'm like, oh, well, I have the cushion. Let me go and grab from it to cover. And it's like, it's going to take 3 to 5 days. And I'm like, well, then maybe I really don't need it.
That 3 to 5 days is like, I needed that money now.
Right. I needed it for tomorrow. And if I'm still clicking yes for the 3 to 5 days, then that means it's definitely an emergency for me
and
to use
it
and I need it.
Correct.
If I say it's not that serious, I don't need to have it right now. Like there was, I had to restock on a lot of my items, and I appreciate my clients for being patient with me because I could have purchased it a long time ago.
Okay.
But I was like, you know what? I'll wait till Black Friday. I'm talking about from the summertime. There were things I needed to replenish.
Oh, dang.
And every time I went to go hit to go do an impulsive
it's
purchase.
Expensive.
Yeah. When I went to go and do an impulsive purchase, it was like 3 to 5 days. I'm like, you know what? Black Friday's coming. Let me tell you about Black Friday.
Tell me.
Ooh. I have like maybe a good 6-7 packages coming.
Oh,
you
bought everything.
That things that needed to be replenished for the business. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even like for me. It wasn't
Is
even
it
for
all
like
the
for
business?
Gets. Well, yeah, because there was. There was products that were low or products that needed to be replenished or whatever have you. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I appreciated that buffer because then I would have been now looking to purchase something during Black Friday, and I already had a lot of different
things. And
you
didn't need it.
Right. And I would have paid more for it.
Right. And so you save money. You have clients that understand, which we all appreciate, of course.
Right. I had one who actually purchased it. She was like, here's what I need. Is this what I need? And I put it. She put it in her kit. So it's in her kit, but... Yeah, so
yes, client. I like her.
So
if you are going to do some type of measure like that, make sure that you put your you get something that checks you. You know what I mean? So you're not put mm-hmm. in that predicament where you're like, damn, did I really need to spend that money?
You need something there that's just like, hey, I know you have it here, but it's okay if you don't take it.
Mm-hmm. And it works for you because it's high yield savings account, which, by the way, they decreased the percentage.
They did.
Why? It was at 4.25%. I checked it yesterday. It's at 3.9.
All rates have changed ever since.
His friend?
Yeah.
His friend. I don't know whose friend, but it's his friend.
It's his friend. Okay. So all rates have changed recently.
But I bet you didn't change for them, though. That...
I don't know. I don't have an answer. I just know rates have changed.
Sorry. That's just, yeah.
But a high yield savings account is still a good thing to have. Absolutely. I have one. I love mine. You know what I found interesting with the talk about budgeting and all that good stuff? So I have married a Muslim man, which I didn't think was going to affect money necessarily, but it does because they can't have interest.
Wait.
Okay. So like if I put my money into my high yield savings account, has interest and it compounds and all that beautiful stuff, right?
Okay.
According to what he's told me, according to his faith, he can't have things that have interest because it goes against his religion. I need to dive deeper into it. But so like we don't invest together. I'll invest. He can't invest in the stock market.
Okay.
So I found that interesting because with budgeting and everything, the banks don't necessarily matter because he can find banks that specifically work it so that it is not haram, which is not a sin.
So if he had just a regular savings account that does do interest for every time that you keep a certain...
It's haram. It's a sin.
Huh.
I learned it. And I thought it was so interesting because everything has it, right? Like every bank that I've ever banked with...
Yeah, has some level of rewarding you for not touching the money.
Yes. So I had to learn how to navigate that a smidge. And talking with him about how we move some money around and how we make all of them ends meet, all that good stuff. And it also makes me think about when we eventually would like to buy a house, we have to find a bank that's going to be helping us in this. Girl.
No. I'm just thinking, like, because when you have a mortgage.
You have interest.
Right.
So it's one of those where, like, I have to dive deeper into this one and get my research on it, but we're going to have to find a bank where it makes it not haram, it makes it not a sin for him to bank there.
Or
to get that loan.
Or it has to be a cash value.
I will have the cash, speak it into existence. We will, that's right, sorry, Ibrahim, it's us. We will have the cash to buy a house. And flat, just pay it, boop, here you go, and walk away from them. Yes, we will.
So you couldn't even do any of those, like, specialty programs?
I don't think so.
Like a FHA or a new home buyer program or, like, you know, like the ones where it's, I forget what they're called, but, like, you build someone else's house. You get the house, mm-hmm. and they put the 10% down for you.
Yes.
But as long as you help build another person's house kind of thing?
I don't think so.
Huh. Okay.
So it's like, how do we budget for everything, especially if we're going to go buy a house, mm-hmm. right? And setting ourselves up for the future with that caveat, right? Making it so that he's staying true to him and true right. to his faith. That adds a whole nother loop and, like, a little more seasoning into the mix.
I definitely would be
interested.
Not even interested, but like, that would give me angst.
I think that's why I haven't fully divested time into this.
Do you want to go down that rabbit hole?
Invested time in this because I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. And it does give me a little bit of angst. And it's because I'm not used to it. I think that's what it is. I'm not used to it. I'm so used to working with a bank and having my interests compound on each other, whatever it could be, right? But being rewarded for not touching it, being rewarded for having put money into this, whatever it is. So I don't know.
Do they do susus? And when I say susu, I'm not talking about a money scheme. Pyramid. I'm not talking about that. It's exactly what it is. The word is in the actual title. Money scheme pyramid is one whole different thing than a susu. So susu is a long historical, damn it with the damn mic. It's a long. It is an ancient form of banking.
Okay.
Where there's a certain amount of people. There's a bank. There's still a banker, mm-hmm. so to speak. And the banker controls the money in the pot. And there's multiple people in the pot. I mean, and you have to know it. A lot of people, especially people from that I know in like my mother's generation and generations before, that's how they got their money to get their houses. So what they would do is it's either weekly, biweekly, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everyone puts into the pot.
Okay.
Everyone chooses a day that they want to receive the pot. So maybe there's 10 people in it, right?
Okay.
So there's 10 different payouts.
Okay.
You get a payout. All the money that goes into the pot that week goes to you. Then the following week, you still put money into the pot. It goes to the next person. So it constantly round robins. And the banker makes sure that the money is there to make sure that everyone gets their money. The pyramid scheme is different.
It trickles down.
It trickles down, but if you don't bring nobody, or you don't get no up. Right. If you don't bring anybody, you don't get any money. That's exactly what it sounds like, a scheme. But a susu is not. It's guaranteed the day that you choose is the day that you get your money.
So I feel like I've heard of this
it's
before.
It's a form of savings.
I've definitely heard of it before. I have never participated in one, and I have never, I don't think I've seen my family do one per se.
I'm saying like for Ibrahim.
But I don't know. I don't think I've seen them do anything like that.
That you know of.
That I know of. Right.
I wouldn't, because if they're not, if they
bank, right? I just don't know where they bank. Because his parents definitely have a bank account. They definitely have money. Their social security going somewhere. I don't know where it is.
Credit union. Maybe. Credit unions do the same thing. They do interest too. Like, I don't know how you would do that. Just interesting.
I think so. I feel like there has to be like Muslim banks that exist. That whatever they do behind the scenes, they must have interest. But they must do something where...
Because interest is how it keeps flowing.
Right. So there has to be something there that makes it so that it's not haram and it's okay with their faith. It causes me anxiety just a smidge and angst. So I haven't fully dived into it. But I need to because this is going to be part of my budgeting life.
Soon.
Forever. Now.
Soon, now, currently?
Forever.
Yesterday?
It is. The day that I put a ring on my finger, it became part of my life, right? Technically, to be honest. I should know. That was 2 years ago. I'm afraid still.
Let me tell you how. Okay. I didn't know if you had anything else you wanted to say.
No, I don't.
You saying that once you got married, you get tied into it. So it.
You do.
It reminded me of how much so. So Andre and I were in a small pickle because of me, but not realizing that I was the cause of the pickle. Because
you both didn't realize you were the cause of the pickle?
Yeah. Well, okay. I realized after the fact.
Of course.
So, again, they're not lying when they're saying you're married, you're tied into it.
You are.
So I had student loans.
Yes.
And when I had student loans, I thought everything was government loans, subsidized and unsubsidized. Not realizing I had a private loan. So I'm working towards these FAFSAs and paying them off little by little with my, you know, income driven whatever. And then all of a sudden, and it was just like, as a matter of fact, it was like, how many days today's the 4th or the 3rd?
Today's the 3rd.
So tomorrow would be like, I think 6 years to the date that it happened.
Okay.
Because I came back from working all day at this big event that we do every year at my former employer. Mm-hmm. And I saw the money go in my account.
Okay.
And it was our joint account. No, it was my regular account, right? But then we also have a joint account to pay rent.
The bills.
And I went to log in. No, I was sitting down. I came home, maybe like home for 30 minutes.
Okay.
Sat down, knowing that I have money in the bank and I have to transfer the money so we can pay the rent.
Absolutely.
It says, oh, your account is at zero.
But I saw money go in.
I saw the money go in.
Oh my gosh, I'd freak out.
They placed a lien on my account at 4:55 in the afternoon on a Friday.
Right before the bank closes.
Right before the bank closes. So when I'm calling to find out what's going on, I can't get anyone. So I have to wait the entire weekend. Now, mind you, that is money for rent.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So, and it not only frees mine, but anything that had my Social Security attached to it, which also means our joint.
Oh my God.
Right? Because we were following the rule that I have my own checking, he has his own checking, he has his own savings, I have my own savings.
Oh my God.
We have our joint checking, our joint savings, so that we can do the day to day.
And they were both frozen.
All four of my, all whatever account that had a social
every
security.
Every account that had your social on it was frozen.
Was frozen. Never got that money back.
Never got it back?
No, because they didn't take it back from me. They took it as payment.
Oh, no. So you just lost, you lost money.
That was like, yeah.
You lost money that you never, that you had budgeted and planned for.
Yeah.
And it was
and just- I had a, this, well, this is before I had two, but I had a December baby I was planning for Christmas.
And her birthday was the following week, basically.
Yeah. So what I end up having to do is I had to haul ass to HR and say, hey, my account was compromised. I needed to go into, I need a live check for payment of my, because we got paid weekly, which was great. We got paid weekly.
So you canceled it so you can get it.
Yeah, and payroll goes in on Monday. So I had to get there Monday morning real early and
7 o'clock in the morning, knock, knock, knock.
Yeah, my account was compromised. I'm not going to tell them what happened.
No, no, my account was compromised. Give me my money.
Give me my money. And so I had to open, I had to take live checks for like a good month before I settled what I need to settle with the payment plan for these people. And I didn't even know. They was like, well, and they were sending it to my mother's house.
And you were never getting
it. And I was never getting it because.
You had done moved out.
Yeah.
You had done moved out. You wasn't checking in there regularly.
Yeah. And while we were cleaning out that house, it was maybe like years later, I found all the letters.
All of the letters?
Well, whatever was still available to be there. So,
at least you didn't commit a federal
crime.
Make
sure
job,
you
Mom.
Pay attention to everything that is on your credit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Even the little ones, because, yeah, they're coming for you. They're going to come for you.
Not they're coming for you.
Yeah.
So, what I've also found out as I continue down this budgeting life of mine is that I tend to freeze a lot of my cards, or I'll freeze my credit report, I will freeze my credit score from being looked into, and then I'll temporarily unfreeze it because people are really stealing people's lives right now. Like, they're going in, stealing their lives, opening new credit cards, getting new purchases for cars, all of this, and I don't got no money.
A year ago, you might have been able to steal my information. Now, you red flag. This bitch ain't got no money.
You're hysterical. But it's not the same, right? Because even though you don't got no money, you got a decent, great, good, something credit score. It's not poor. It's above that. So, hey, she's an average person with an average score. She'll fly under the radar for all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Let me open 4 credit cards under her name. And you won't know it if you don't have those things set up. So I forget what made me do this.
LifeLock.
No.
Not advertising for anybody.
No, no.
The first company to come to my head.
I don't remember what happened. Something happened. Maybe I lost a credit card or something, and I realized that I should go freeze my credit scores. So I like went to all the big names. Mm-hmm. Experian.
TransUnion. And
what's the third one? Whatever. Mm-hmm. I went to them. I went in, and I froze my credit score so that it obviously still, you know, matriculates, whatever the word is. Matriculates and budgeted and it updates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm struggling with words today, guys, for real. It updates based on the credit that you're spending and all that good stuff. But if I was to go right now and try and open a credit card, it's going to get denied because they can't access my information.
Got it.
Any hackers out there, you can't access my information. Don't try. So that's what I did, so that I made sure that, like, one, that's putting a check on me because I don't need to open credit cards. I don't need to get financing for anything. I just need to stay in my lane and budget my budget and figure out how to do my life with the money that I got right now.
Right.
And it also just puts an extra security on my back to make sure that no one else is going to try and steal my identity to then mess up my budget, because then you're SOL for years sometimes when your life gets stolen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you're constantly having to prove yourself.
Right. So that also just is so huge, and people don't think about it. And it makes a big effect on your life if it does happen.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know. One time I went to go and send a Western Union to my stepsister. She's in the States.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing it in New York. And when I went to go pay, I think this was recently after I got married too. So my name changed to Denise. Oh. Right. Okay. Very common.
To your name. Your normal name, right? Now.
Mm-hmm. And they said she wasn't you. They were like, this name, regardless of who it is.
Okay.
There's no Denise Johnson in the state of New York can send Western Union. I'm like, what? I'm not even, like, I have my middle initial. Like, a distinguishment from whatever this other person is. They didn't care. I couldn't do it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know who or which Denise Johnson messed it up.
Some Denise Johnson messed it up for all of y'all.
But she messed it up for all the Denise Johnsons out there in the world, in New York.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, I was having the conversation with my therapist where I mentioned to her, I'm like, listen, like, just a quick brief discussion about finances. And I was just like, I have been thinking more and more, and I've heard someone say this before, and if anyone is good at budgeting and can confirm or attest to this, I was going to start using the income that I receive,
okay,
and literally using that income to pay my cards and use my cards to pay for things, so that this way it's cyclic and I can build credit. I don't know how true that is in terms of working to be able to maintain the debt to
income ratio.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's definitely possible to do that. And it is a way that people say you can use your credit cards effectively. My thing is, as entrepreneurs,
we use a lot of pay for a lot of things.
It's not even that. It's that it, let's rephrase that sentence. As starting entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. right, we're still not getting a $500,000 paycheck every other month.
Right.
So our paycheck could be paycheck, I say paycheck, but like our income could be for the month of December, you have a great month. And let's say you do, let's just round weird numbers. Let's say you have $500, right? Mm-hmm. But then January, everyone stops paying to go out because that's your slump. So now instead of $500, you have 50. How do you can't pay off cards on $50. And the way that your business is that it's hard to estimate what's coming in sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think that that is just a little bit more difficult for starting entrepreneurs like us, because we don't have that consistent income, paycheck, whatever you want to call it, coming in, where someone who's been an entrepreneur and successful and has had steady clients for 20 years.
Right, and steady income.
Can then have a better idea of what their regular income is going to be for every month and can plan better. Or even when you had your former employer working for the man, you had your steady income coming in, and so you could better plan it that way. So you knew that you could take $250 and pay off every card every month and then use the card for the month, you know?
Right. Yeah. And then the other nuance to it is using your legal social versus your EIN to open up cards.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other nuance to it. So a lot of different navigation through
for everything.
Financing.
Personal, business financing.
Yeah.
And then throwing the holidays on top of it just adds another little sprinkling on top of budgeting and financing that I'm almost never, ever, ever prepared for. That sounds awful. But I'm not.
No. I don't think you ever can be. Unless you
have a lot of money.
Are making the big bucks.
Seven figures. How much is seven figures?
You know, continue to be blessed. Share some of that blessings with me. Some of that knowledge to keep that blessings
yes,
on me.
Yes, please. Come on.
But us little folk,
we surviving. We surviving.
But, you know, somehow miracles still continue to happen.
Absolutely.
Right? Because at the end of the day, bills still get paid. Food still gets
placed on the table, mm-hmm. clothes on the back, and, you know, but it's definitely, is it drudging? Drudging through? Like D-R-U-D?
Trudging through.
Trudging?
Trudging.
Trudging?
Trudging.
Okay.
I know that because of A Knight's Tale.
Oh.
I'm trudging.
Okay. Yeah. Literally. But these are also all the experiences that build character, make you stronger, make you prepared.
I don't like
it. Sucks.
I don't like it.
Because let me tell you about that.
Girl.
That ache in my heart. Sorry for hitting the mic, everybody. That ache in my heart.
When I
looked at that account and it said zero.
Girl. I would have freaked out.
And it was like, it was like two of my banks.
I would have freaked out.
The notification, it was like zero account. I'm like, zero on your balance. I'm like, what? What
do you? Do you get account notifications now?
Oh, absolutely.
So like, I don't know, again, I don't know what prompts me to do all of the stuff that I do sometimes, but every card that I have, every time it gets swiped, it gets used for my Apple Pay. Whenever it gets used, I get a notification that says your card was just used at X, Y, and Z. Let me tell you, that right there was a saving grace for me because I had lost a card. And in my brain, it was fine. It was in my house somewhere. No, it was not. My card was truly lost. Somebody was spending money at a Wawa in Iowa.
Oh, I had that happen to me. But I had the card on me.
Oh, I didn't have the card on me. I lost it. It was gone. So because I got that notification, I immediately called my bank, cancel it. It's not mine. Give me a new card. I should have done this when I lost my card. But it's all right. Give me a new card. Send it to me. Cancel that transaction. It's not me. Please put all of the money back in my account. Why are we spending $400 at Wawa in Iowa? It is not me.
Oh. Well, I was mid-service. And the way I sit with mid-service, my phone sits right here. And so I'm mid-service.
Mm-hmm.
And all I see is transaction for like $10 in Texas. I'm like, that's not me.
I'm in America.
Then as I'm calling the bank and on the phone with the representative is looking at my account and they was like, that's not you. I was like, no, I live in New York.
You can see.
See, not New York, New Jersey.
All of my transactions are tri-state area.
So as we're talking, another alert comes up for $150. And no. I'm like, you can see this alert that just came in? Because I cancel
my card. Give me my money back.
So just be careful. And the only thing I think of is I went to get gas the morning on the way to New York.
You think that's what it was?
Yeah, they put these little card readers in the machine and they stripe and pull all your information.
I don't like the world that we live in. Okay. So, good luck budgeting. Because,
or if you know people who can help you budget, definitely take advantage of it.
Yes. Use your village. Always use your village, right? That's why they're your village. Budgeting isn't easy. I do follow somebody. It's a New Jersey based.
Oh, Budgetista?
I love Budgetista.
She's cute.
She is. And so
I
love her.
If you want to come here pro bono.
Please, we'll help. We need help.
Not the pro bono help.
But we need help. Lots of help.
Listen, she's been on GMA. She's not coming to us pro bono.
I wish, though. Let's tag her anyway.
Okay.
Okay. We just need help. And it's something that I wish I could share that tool with everybody. Because it's not taught.
No.
Well,
now they're trying to.
It's not taught. And if it is taught, I feel like it's not taught effectively for our population that are trying to be their own business owners, our population that grew up with a toxic relationship with money.
Mm-hmm.
And for transitioning from women being the front of the household now, managing all those bills, because before it was the men who were managing, but now it's us that are managing. Really?
I think we've always managed, but we've managed with other people's money rather, and now it's being
ours. And now
it's
our money.
Yeah.
Right. So we just need the help and the tools to succeed, and it's just not given to us. And it's given to us, but it's not readily accessible. That's okay. What I want to say. So use what you have. Follow whatever you can follow. Whoever, Budgetista, whatever.
There's
another one. Ooh, I feel like
with the blonde hair.
Oh no, who are you talking about?
I forget her name. She's an older
Caucasian lady.
Oh.
She's known.
Okay.
Oh, her name escapes me. And it's like at the tip of my tongue. Her name escapes me. But yes, she's also very good too.
So there's another one. And I want to say it's your best friend, Vicky.
Okay.
Your BFF, Vicky. She's great. Okay. I follow her too. I know that the season is hard. Mm-hmm. You have 4 weeks to get it all together. You're going to survive it. We're going to survive it. I don't know. I'm going to pray that I survive it. That's a lot of money.
We'll get through it. But
you're rich BFF.
Huh.
Okay. That's what it is. And her name is Vivian, not Vicky. I apologize. But it's your rich BFF. And like she breaks down and she has like these little tidbits about how to invest, high yield savings, your 401k, budgeting, all that good stuff. So I follow those two and I really like those two.
Okay.
No sponsorship. But if you want to visit and you want to do something with us, we'll appreciate it. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay. So I was going to say we'll list everybody we talked about.
We will. Mention
below so that this way you can. And if you guys are people who work in helping other people with budgeting, comment below. Let us know.
Yes.
It feels so weird to have to say that.
Why?
Comment below. Like it feels forced. Oh. Comment below. Listen, just join the conversation.
Yeah, no, join the Wispies. Let us know. We're trying to help each other out. That's what it is. We're trying to create this own their own little village amongst all of us. So let us just help each other out. That's what it all is. That's
because sharing is caring.
Hi, yay.
All right.
All right, see you next time, guys.
Hey, Wispies. Thanks for joining us for another hard-hitting girl talk. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like and subscribe on your podcast listening platforms. See you next time, Wispies.